kneading and firing. History does not agree on exactly where Prometheus and Zeus went to find the best clay for realizing the plan. Early sources, like the traveller Pausanias, claim that Panopeus in Phocis was the place. Later scholars say that the pair travelled east of Asia Minor all the way down to the fertile lands that lie between the rivers Tigris and Euphrates. The Greek for between rivers is Mesopotamia, which is how that area was always known to the Greeks. The most recent scholarship maintains that the search took them right down past Nilus, crossing the equator, and ending up in East Africa. Wherever it was, they found at last what Prometheus pronounced to be the perfect spot, a river whose slimy banks oozed with just the kind of mud and minerals he wanted for consistency, texture, durability, and colour. "This is good clay," he told Zeus. "No, don't settle down. I need to work in peace and free of all distraction. But before you go, I shall require some of your saliva." "Excuse me? If these creatures are to live and breathe, they will need something of you in the composition." Zeus saw the justice of this and was happy enough to hawk up and fill a dried-out waterhole with his divine spittle. "I'll need to line up my little clay figures one by one on the riverbank to be baked in the heat of the sun," said Prometheus. "So be back by evenfall, and they should be nicely ready." Zeus would have liked to watch, but he knew enough about the artistic temperament to leave Prometheus to it. Leaping upwards in the form of an eagle, he flew away, leaving his friend alone with his art. Prometheus began tentatively, first rolling out sausages of clay, each roughly 4 podies long. Like us, the Greeks used feet as a measurement. 1 pous, plural podies, was made up of about 15 or 16 toes, dactyla, and was approximately as long as a British or American foot. On top of these, Prometheus stuck a ball of spit-moistened clay for a head. It was then a question of teasing, twisting and tweaking, mushing, moulding and massaging, pulling, prising and pinching, until something like a small version of a god or titan appeared. The more he worked, the more excited he became. Zeus had not been exaggerating when he compared Prometheus to Hephaestus. He did possess real skill. In fact, what he exhibited now as he pressed and shaped was more than skill. It was artistry. Mixing the clay with different pigments, he built up a diverse and colourful array of lifelike masculine creatures. His first effort had been a small being whose skin closely matched the sun-kissed complexions of the gods. Next, he made one in shining black, then another who was more a creamy ivory tinged with pink. Then came figures of amber, yellow, bronze, red, green, beige, vivid purple, and the brightest blue.